Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Angela Alberti.
Well, hello, Ivy Podcast listeners. Thank you so much for tuning into today's show. Wherever you are sitting in from, we appreciate you guys spending some time with us. As you know, I am always about the episodes revolving around workforce ecosystems, staffing, recruiting, human capital, what it takes to put the people to work every single day. I'm your host, Angela Alberti, and I'm very excited about who I have the chance to interview with you guys today. Thomas. Thomas, can you give us a quick intro?
Sure thing. Thanks, Angela, first off, for having me on. So my name is Thomas Hahn. I am the president of a company, brand new startup company called Turner Staffing Group. We are an offshoot of a company called Turner Mining Group. I'm sure we'll get into that. Mm-hmm. But I'm not your stereotypical mining guy. I'm your business guy, worked in several different industries, and just have a real deep love and passion for propelling people. And that's what we do at Turner.
Yeah, truly. You know, when I had a chance to talk with you briefly about this episode, Thomas, it was really awesome to hear about the passion that you guys bring. There's not enough out there that said about the livelihood that you guys have an impact to change generationally, even in some cases. So there's something truly sacred about staffing, recruiting, even though there's these negative connotations that you can sometimes hear about it. We'll hop into all of those details in today's show. But what blew my mind without a doubt was when I talked to you, it almost felt like, you know, I've dedicated my whole career to staffing and human capital, but I know so little of it still. And you guys are in the very interesting realm of mining and finding that kind of work that needs to be done. But can you set the tone, right? For those that are not familiar with that industry or that space in general, and kind of school us a little bit on the landscape of the mining industry.
Yeah. The thing that I always like to start off with is if you just look around, everything around you is either grown originally or it is mined originally. And I think that's a good context setting when we think about kind of what the mining industry is. You're right. The mining industry has, frankly, a horrible reputation, both in the United States, you know, here, but also internationally. Yeah. And the mining industry has a lot of work to do in order to change that reputation. At Turner, that's something we take very seriously. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, whether it is us explaining how, you know, when you look at your cell phone, all of this material originally was mined. Or talking about taking what was a farm field, extracting the potential minerals that are in that ground that might go into your vitamin or something like that, and then returning it back to be a fully functioning farm field when you're done. Like, those are the types of stories that we're trying to get out there and share about the mining industry, because I think most people just have a general misperception. I used to work in agriculture. And although agriculture is often misperceived as well, kids grow up on farms. Kids don't grow up on mines. Mm-hmm. So nobody has that experience. Nobody really understands what's happening and frankly, how technical and exacting this work is, and also how needed it is, because it's just so far removed from the day-to-day.
Yeah, absolutely. And a critical part of our infrastructure, our day-to-day life, so little known about it on the outside. But let's go into something that I want to press on a little bit more. And just a general reputation management. I thought it was fascinating what you guys have done to attract the next generation miner. Yeah. And albeit when I think miner, I'm thinking of the guy that has coal on his face that's coming out of the cave in Pennsylvania. But there's so much, it's so much more vast than that. What we do know, though, is that reputation management and staffing, or even in industry specific like mining, should be top of mind, because we have a young generation that's acutely aware of this, right?
Has to be. And I think So I think two things. One thing is we don't hide what we do.
Right.
There are a lot of large firms, both in the mining industry and frankly in other industries as well, that kind of live under this false pretense of, oh, well, if as long as we don't talk about it, it won't be talked about. Yeah. And I think that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Either you're going to write your story or somebody's going to write it for you. And I think we've seen that many, many, many times, especially over the past decade. But beyond even just like the tactics of reputation management, I think there needs to be a clear vision of what you're actually trying to do. And for Turners, it goes well beyond our company. It actually is about the mining industry. So our purpose statement is to make life better for the mining industry. And when we talk about that and we give real examples of that, you are right. It resonates with a more informed audience, and it resonates with a more curious audience that's actually seeking to understand rather than kind of seeking to further their argument. And I think those are the people that we want to attract. We know that not everybody's cut out for the mining industry, and that's fine. We also know that there are a lot of people who can frankly do better for themselves professionally by having a career and growing in the mining industry. We know that there are a lot of people who are looking for the next mineral that could help be a part of a treatment that could cure a disease that we haven't cured. Mm-hmm. We know that there are people who want to use technology and need new metals and new materials for batteries, et cetera, that are going to help green kind of our infrastructure. And so I think as long as we are purpose-driven and we are sharing exactly what we are doing to help orient every single day to that purpose, you're right. It will attract kind of that next generation or those folks that are just genuinely curious about what mining is.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Hear, hear to that. And a lot of that can be pushed under the covers or under the rug, as they would say. So it's good to see that you guys, refreshing, I would say, to see that you guys have taken a different sort of route. And knowing that maybe there has been a need that you guys have identified in the demographic makeup of what is the miner. And I'm sure, and this is stemming into what I want to ask you next, but how did you guys appeal or look to appeal to a younger generation, which clearly there potentially is a need for in the mining?
There is in mining for sure. So, and this is true in other blue collar spaces, but especially true in the mining industry. The average age in the United States of a miner, of a blue collar employee at a mining firm, is 52. That
blows my mind.
It's a staggering number.
Yeah.
And again, I don't think there's anything wrong with the average age being 52. It is okay, but we now need to realize that that individual or the average individual will likely retire in the next 10 years, mm-hmm. right? And so knowing that, we have specifically invested and focused on attracting the next generation miner. Now, it doesn't literally mean only sub 30-year-olds, like literally the next generation. It also means attracting 45-year-olds and 40-year-olds and 35-year-olds and 30-year-olds, right, all the way down. And so the way we intentionally set about doing that is really focused on, again, changing the messaging around mining. It was to draw people both from who are kind of really coming out of school or coming out of kind of pre-prime working years, but also to attract people from other industries, because there are other industries that might not be as foundational as mining is and as resilient economically as mining is and as stable as mining is.
Right.
And so when we think about that next generation miner, we're not just talking about age generation, we're talking about really new people to the mining industry. And so a couple of fun statistics on this. So people are like, oh, well, that's kind of cool. Well, you know, what has happened? Well, the average employee at Turner Mining Group is 26 years old. I love that stat. It's literally half the age of the average miner in the US.
Yes.
Another statistic that I think is fun is our firm is about 300 to 350 people. And we have attracted over the past 3 years, 9,000 applications. Now, 9,000 to, you know, a multi-billion dollar firm is probably not that many, but to a very small firm, it's actually a lot. So I like that because we've been able to garner awareness and attention about what we're doing. And when you have 9,000 people apply to anything, it's probably going to skew to be similar to the population. Kind of like statistics will tell you, if you attract enough attention, you actually will model more the general population than just our industry's population. So that's another interesting thing, is that we're not just kind of saying this and getting a very small response. We're actually saying this and getting quite a large response. And I know we'll talk a little bit about some marketing techniques that we've leveraged around how we do that, and specifically around social media. So I'll kind of save that for that. But I think just being intentional on messaging and content and who your target audience is, you can have success doing that. And again, in 2017, Turner Mining Group didn't exist. So wow. Less than 5 years ago, no firm. So I think what we also try to get across is that you can do it. Whether you're in a large firm or a small firm, this is possible to be done. Takes a lot of work, but it is possible to be done.
Oh, absolutely. And simply in hearing your stat on the average applicant age, I think it was 26 that you mentioned, that's staggering. And yeah. it's certainly a testimony to what you guys have done. So kudos on that side. What I'm curious to know, and you kind of prefaced this a little bit here, Turner Mining Group, you guys are the SMEs in mining, and y'all have done a great job at scaling in the last 5 years, 350 headcount, and now you're in staffing. So I'd love to hear how that originated, and furthermore, how is it going? How is it going for you guys?
It always starts kind of with that one conversation, right? Yeah. So Keaton and I, we talk a lot about our purpose, right? And so our purpose statement is to make life, keyword there being life, better for the mining industry. Well, life implies life. And the only thing that should be living in a mine is a human being. So it implies a human. And we very intentionally chose our purpose statement to be very people focused, very human oriented. Keaton Turner. So Keaton likes to say, Turner Mining Group is a people company. We just happen to do mining. Love that phrase. So we've had that since the beginning of the firm, when Keaton founded it in 2017. How we get to staffing is in reference to the statistic that I just mentioned previously. So when we have 9,000 applicants and only 300 to 350 openings, we literally have 30 times the applicants. And yes, we all know in the recruiting and hiring and staffing space, like there is a yield between applicants and Absolutely. Offers, right? Yeah. So we get that. And even more specifically, signed offers. But I don't think it's 30-1. Is what I would say. And especially if you're doing a good job attracting the right talent pool, it shouldn't be 30-1. So we know we have talent sitting in this applicant database that we're not able to use on the Turner Mining side. And yet our purpose statement is about human life, about people, and is about our industry as a whole. So how do we connect those two things? Turner Staffing Group, right? How do we take all of this talent that is very attracted to what we're doing in our industry and wants to be a part of our community, and then actually deploy it into the industry, even if it's not on a Turner Mining mine site? There are 11,000 active mine sites in the United States right now. Mm-hmm. I would love to take those 9,000 people and put one of them on almost every site, right? Like that would be a really cool industry impact thing. And again, we get that there's yield, so it's not going to be all 9,000. But I think that's a very interesting aha, where we have this ability to attract talent and create this community around talent. And that community is different than the traditional mining industry's community. And we need that different, that new, that energy that can be brought to the industry to make it better, to make life better. And that's exactly what we're trying to do at Turner Staffing. So it's a weird way to get there, but actually when you think about it now, hearing that, you're like, kind of makes sense. So we just never wanted to restrict the talent community that cares about us to only our sites. We Turner Mining is on 8 mine sites in the United States right now. 8 out of 11,000.
Wow.
Right. So Turner Staffing, you also asked how it's going. Well, Turner Staffing's already on 4. So we literally recreated a month ago. We're already on 4 mine sites. So we take a lot of pride in that. We're on half the mine sites that Turner Mining is on. And Turner Mining is a 5-year-old firm. And we're a 1-month-old firm. Wow. So when we think about the momentum we're getting, and I'm sure that number is going to grow quite rapidly. We've sent a lot of proposals out recently. But I think people are realizing exactly what we can do, which is deploy talent where they couldn't find that right fit in that match. And we too truly view it as a match. We've got a knack for that. And so we're going to keep doing it, and we're going to help the industry by doing it.
That's awesome. That's fantastic to hear. What advice would you give yourself or anyone that's going into the staffing space that maybe you didn't know about a couple of months ago even?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things. So the first thing is we have the ultimate platform already built. And I think having a platform is key. Yeah. So Turner Mining has done a really good job building this community, right? And specifically this, if you want to think of it very tactically, this talent database. Mm-hmm. And that community wants to engage with us and wants to be part of Turner. Mm-hmm. And that that platform, I think, is irreplaceable. I think if you are starting out from scratch, truly scratch, the quicker you can build that platform and the quicker you can build that community, the better.
Right.
The second thing I will say is you have to have industry knowledge. I think generalized staffing is becoming more and more difficult because everybody is understanding the specific technical skills that are really required to have success in these industries. And that's not just true for mining. That's true in masonry. That's true in construction. That's true in white collar roles like accounting and HR. Like, it is very hard to take someone who doesn't really understand that industry and have them then evaluate a talent pool that can be the right fit, be that match for that opportunity, that role, that need. And so I think that's my number two takeaway, which is just, again, we have this ultimate advantage. We do this work. Like what we're staffing for is also what we do. Yeah. And so that ability to really intimately understand exactly what needs to be done on a site and really understand all the lingo, because every industry has its lingo and there's a lot of nuance that's built in the lingo, and being able to parse through that and understand that and interpret that and then match that to talent, that I think is really difficult if you don't have an industry understanding. So I'd say those two, platform and specific industry or discipline understanding.
Yeah, those are key components to success. You know, at times, you know, you're speaking to folks that want to go into staffing, and it, the most critical part of that is aligning what your expertise is going to be. What Yes. is it? What is it? And clearly, you guys are doing a fantastic job when it comes to talent pool curation. So 9,000 applicants, 30 openings, there must be something right. And these are applicants that seem engaged, which is yes. ever the more resonating with that. So how have you guys done this? And really, what would you say are some of those key foundational elements that have allowed you to curate a talent pool like this and essentially create a micro community?
Yeah. And I think the community is the key word. And I talked a little bit about building your platform and your database and your network of talent. But I think it does start even before then from a very tactical perspective. Obviously, the first thing you have to have is a brand, something that is attracting people to your firm. By the way, hopefully it also attracts clients, but it definitely needs to attract talent, right? So that's number one. Well, how do you build a brand? Okay. Well, the first thing you need to do is create a community around your brand. And the most leverageable tool, and this is true, again, across industries, most leverageable tool is social media. And firms that aren't paying attention to social media are just missing where talent and eyeballs are focused. And I don't mean you have to be a TikTok star, although it wouldn't hurt, by the way. I do think you need to be putting into community, into these platforms, content that is both enriching, maybe hopefully even enlightening, and enjoyable, right? And so we focus a ton on this. We probably were spending money on marketing way back in 2018, when a lot of companies would look at us and say, "You're not big enough to have a marketing team." Yes, we are going to have a marketing team. And what it has done is it has built a brand and a reputation and a community, both with talent and with clients, that we have created kind of this, you know, ongoing virtuous loop where as clients are asking for more talent is being attracted, and we can continue to pair those two. As a matter of fact, again, because we didn't have a staffing arm previously, we actually have more talent than we had asks internally for talent. And it's one of the reasons why we started the staffing firm, but we will get that kind of in balance very, very intentionally. And again, it started with social media and actually putting out content that people want to engage with. I like to give a couple of these other statistics. So in the mining industry, one of the biggest companies in the mining industry globally is a company called Rio Tinto. For folks who don't know that, just Google it. It'll be the first link that comes up. But Rio Tinto is a, you know, many billions of dollars a year company, global, probably operates in 50 plus countries. They on Instagram have 10,000 individuals following their firm, which is a lot of people. That's a good micro community, right? Turner Mining has over 60,000.
Wow.
And again, Turner Mining is a less than 5-year-old firm, has 300-ish, 350-ish employees. Like, it's just not, we're on a very different scale. And for us to create that community, we must be doing something different than what Rio Tinto is doing. And again, it's not a criticism of Rio Tinto. It's just an example of where our industry is. And I always like to make the joke, and I mean, this is true personally, but I mean, you can just look around and watch people at dinner, watch people watching television, mm-hmm. watch people having a conversation, looking for directions, da 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 da. They might be doing all those things, but what they're actually doing is staring at this little screen that they sometimes hold in their pocket. And it's so funny because all of the attention is there. We didn't choose social media because we thought social media was cool. We chose social media because it is the place where attention is. And there are certain platforms that probably better fit your demographic of whether that's a talent demographic or a client demographic. We spend a lot of time on both Instagram and LinkedIn. Instagram really has a deep blue collar community built into it. And it's really impressive to watch the engagement that happens there. Mm-hmm. LinkedIn has this historic reputation of being a place to go find a job, right? And so it has a little more of a white collar element to it, although it's becoming more and more blue collar for sure. But it also has an element of being a platform to network and even to sell on. And so we've also leveraged LinkedIn and our brand presence there, even with a client perspective and building a network of clients as well. So again, it's probably an oversimplification, but when you invest in your brand and then when your brand creates content that is engaging to a community where people's attention is focused, where their eyeballs are focused, that is a recipe for success. Again, it does not happen overnight, but it is something that you can continuously build, and eventually it becomes a virtuous loop that's just coming back to you.
That's fantastic. And dare I say, so much of what you said transcends itself beyond the mining community. I mean, I am selfishly walking away with a lot of what you said, even in my own little neck of the woods. So thank you for that. It's truly fascinating to hear you talk through it, and it shows in the passion that you guys bring, which, speaking of, you guys are probably in an industry, horrible reputation. I mean, let's just say it's a double whammy. It's the mining community and it's the staffing community, both of which have not garnered reputable success, I would say. How do you guys combat that? And I love the way that y'all approach your messaging in that B, it's almost B to C, B to B balance. but in a terrible industry. How have you guys talked to that?
We've been accused of being a tech firm that has big yellow trucks, which I always find interesting. I'm like, well, really? We're not really a tech firm. We're not from Silicon Valley, but we do portray our brand in that way, right? Partly again, to the engaging the right community. We want to come across even as far as like sexy, we want to be appealing, right?
Yeah.
And what we do is actually cool. I think about, so I have a 7-year-old boy, and I think about what does he think is cool? And he loves playing in the dirt and looking at big equipment, and whether that's cars or motorcycles or heavy equipment like mining stuff or whatever, like there is an element of what we do that is genuinely cool. And being able to serve so many industries downstream is also really cool, whether that's vitamins and pharma or metals and foam stuff or batteries for electric cars. Like we get to be the beginning of a supply chain that's really actually kind of interesting. And so we talk about that. And I think that's part of the reputation that we have to continue to break down, which is this is what we do every day and we have to live it. If we don't live what we do, it will not happen, right? Like we can talk about it as much as we want, but unless we're actually doing these things, where we're actually having a heart for people, we have 3 core values we talk about a lot: having a heart for people, having an eye for safety, and having a mind for innovation. So let's do some things differently. We want absolutely to live those values and really strive to. Of course, we're not perfect. Everybody's flawed. But I think even just having that intentionality behind what we're communicating and then what we're living behind that communication is critical, because you can build a heck of a brand. The moment you show up on site and you're not delivering to that brand promise, or the moment you staff someone on a site and you're not delivering to that brand promise, all that hard work just kind of went out the door. So we do hold a high bar. We do push ourselves to be better, but also push our clients to be better. And I think that's how you actually change an industry slowly but surely, is you just keep that high bar and we just don't compromise on it. I know it can be really tempting to take that not quite perfect fit and just slide them right into that job. We don't. Yeah. We would rather not have the revenue, because that revenue comes with a set of risks that we don't want to have associated with our firm.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Wow, Thomas, I mean, it's been such a fantastic time sitting with you. One of the things that as we're closing up today's podcast, I'd love to get an idea of, you know, so oftentimes when I do these interviews, we have this philosophical conversation on what you think the future of work is and how that's enhanced by technology. Mm-hmm. But you bring a different perspective into this, because you guys are working in an industry that has skilled trades, which is clearly lacking. So what do you say when you hear future of work strategies and you're looking at your son who loves playing in the dirt and you want to bring a future of supplemental work to mm-hmm. that sort of generation? What do you think needs to happen to bring that together?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. I think technology is critical. Right. So I think, and I would actually give a lot of credit to the OEM. So these are the big equipment manufacturers like Caterpillar and Komatsu are kind of the top 2.
Yeah.
They do a tremendous job of bringing more and more technology into their equipment, make it more efficient, make it more green, make it safer, mm-hmm. make it like they have done a really good job of doing that, even down to the point of the person who's operating that, their comfort level is taken into account these days, which is amazing. So I think about those things. And so technology will play an element. And then I even think about connectivity and how can we share information within an operation that changes, again, safety, efficiency, all of these key things that we care about in the mining industry. So I do think technology is going to play a key role on where we are headed. And I think people and talent will play a key role as well. And to your point of how do you attract those people and that talent, You have to continue telling your story. You have to tell it in a compelling way, and you have to live up to what you're telling. And I think as long as we continue to do those three things, we will have success at attracting that next generation miner and have success at incorporating technology in the right way into our business. It's not that we're going to stiff arm it. As a matter of fact, Turner has many partnerships, many of which are not public, that are very focused on how do we implement interesting technologies into our business. And we will continue to do that. Again, it's one of our core values is having a mind for innovation. So if we're not living it, then why is it our core value? But I do think as long as we're doing that, we can. And you're right. Our industry, it's really hard to operate a piece of equipment not sitting in a piece of equipment in current state. There will become a day where remote operation is a thing. There will become a day where semi-autonomous or maybe even fully autonomous operation is a thing. But that's not going to change the need for talent in our industry. And it's frankly not going to change some of the demographic things that we've talked about. The tech won't come fast enough to address 52-year-olds being the average age of the US miner. It just won't. And so we need that next generation because they're going to be critical to our industry's success.
Boom. Dropping the mic. Love it. Okay. I hear what you're saying. And sometimes I think of that person that puts the headset on that's like virtually maneuvering.
That will come.
You're right.
That will come. I'm sure.
It's just exciting times, and it won't diminish an industry. It'll only evolve it as history has shown us. All right. So last question for you today, Thomas, what is your content diet? What is in the inner workings of your mind that you consume? And this is a very thoughtful question because we are living in the information age.
What
are some resources that you rely on that help evolve you into the leader, the subject matter expert, all of it?
So you can't see this because it's a little bit out of frame, but I have a little shelf, like a window ledge right here, and they're just books stacked on it. So the first thing I will say is I read actual books, like paper, real books.
Turn the page.
Yeah. Yes. I have a Kindle and I get it. There's something about reading an actual book, and I know I'm old school and probably irrelevant in that way, but I do like reading actual books. So that is probably first and foremost. Especially from a things that are going to challenge and push me. And I want that. I want it in a deep and rich way. I feel like a book is pretty hard to top from a format perspective. I also consume a lot of podcasts, right? And so, but I still don't know that I get the depth and the richness from a podcast that I do from a book.
Yeah.
Then the other thing is you got to build your network too, right? So yeah. I am constantly on the phone, whether it's in this format or others, on the phone where I'm talking to people and I'm hearing what they're thinking about, what their challenges are, what their new approaches are, how they're solving a problem, how we could apply that. So I think those are probably my three primary, which is books, podcasts, and then just your network. Obviously I leverage social media. But I leverage it oftentimes to get on the phone with someone. I don't really try to keep the conversation just there via DM. I'm looking to get on the phone and really have a deeper conversation again, kind of back to the book theme. I think that's the best way to elevate yourself is really get a rich understanding.
This is constant learning.
Yes.
Without a doubt. I love what you said about your network. So oftentimes we hear mentors and we have this connotation that a mentor is somebody that's like older and wiser.
Oh, I know.
Oh, no, no. It's the kid that's got TikTok on lock that has figured out, right?
Exactly.
Let's continue learning. Awesome. So Thomas, where can we find you? Where can we get in touch with
you? Sure. Yeah. So many ways. Obviously I'm on Instagram and on LinkedIn. On Instagram, my handle's Precision Haun. My last name's H-A-U-N, Haun. But easiest probably is LinkedIn. You can just look up Thomas Haun. You can probably just Google Thomas Haun. I don't know where I fit in the results on Google. I should probably look that up. But you just Google Thomas Haun. And again, last name's H-A-U-N. And shoot me a note. I would love to stay in contact. And probably actually just ask for a phone call. So if anybody's out there who's curious about anything we're doing.
Calls,
oh yeah.
True,
oh yeah.
I love it.
That's how I operate.
There you go. Thomas, so nice having you on the show. You really opened up a new world and a new element of staffing. We really appreciate it. And of course, we appreciate our listeners for tuning into today's episode. Time is valuable across the board. It's the most valuable gift that we can give one another. So we appreciate you guys and you as well, Thomas, for spending some time with us.
Thanks, Angela. I had a blast.
Yeah, likewise. We'll have you again on the show and we'll see you guys on the next episode of the Ivy Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.